All right. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Twilight, good, dusk,
good night,
dawn.
Night and tide. Good night and dale.
How's it going, Scott?
Excellent. How about you, Sheldon?
Awesomeness. Great. Here in San Francisco Bay Area? You're up in Seattle?
That's right. Yay. It's going to be hot up here for us.
It's been all week here.
Yeah.
So, melting. Here we are again.
Yeah, we are here again. Appearingly.
Appearing here. Appearing we. Appearing here. That's the name of a show.
Appearing here.
Appearing we. Appearing here.
Appearing we. Appearing here. Yes, write it down.
I like it.
Start a list of other show names. But right now, this is, of course, radio on BBS Radio. And this is where we talk all things A Course in Miracles.
Yes.
Yes, and we do. It's very serious.
It's very serious. We take it very seriously. And what are we talking about today, Scott?
Today, we are talking about the fact that we are in an illusion. And once you kind of realize that, it kind of freaks people out. And then you go, well, how do I function here? How do I, you know, kind of do all this, practice spirituality, but also go through this day-to-day stuff that I appear to be going through? How do I function in it?
Mm-hmm. How do you function in it?
Very carefully.
Very carefully. It's scary.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be a fun topic to talk about because it's right at the heart, the core of A Course in Miracles, you know, as far as it gets into the metaphysics of it. And then, you know, I think we'll be talking about I'm thinking about a lot of good practical tips of how do you work through or how do you just go through your day-to-day life, you know, knowing what you know now, because the course really does kind of open your eyes up, kind of pulls you out of the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some people want to go right back in because it kind of freaks people out when they realize what the course is saying about our situation and about how fake it is. And again, I do think the movie The Matrix is a good metaphor for that story.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Awesome. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's like The Matrix but without the violence.
The violence is there too, right?
In the Matrix, yeah.
Yes.
In our metaphor, outside of the Matrix, it's total peace, total love.
Right, right.
Total oneness. That's if you were going to redo the Matrix.
And we don't get to wear the cool black overcoats? Damn.
In the Matrix, sure you can.
Yeah.
You can wear whatever you want, Sheldon. You don't even have to wear anything.
Those cool shades? Yeah.
Those cool shades, the boots. Yep.
Yeah.
You'd be styling.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay.
All right. So like we normally do, I guess we'll start with a meditation to kind of get us into everything. And my good friend Sheldon Joe, you're going to be doing the meditation today, right?
Dope.
Dope.
Dope, dope, dope.
Are you getting nervous again?
Nervous. Okay, here we go. All right, this is going to be interesting. Here we go. Okay, so I guess if you're driving or something, doing something that you need to be alert and active, maybe you should not follow this. You can do it later because you can always download these things off BBS Radio or podcasts or whatever. So here we go. Start by getting comfortable in your chair. Taking in a couple of nice deep inhalations. Exhaling through the mouth. just bringing your awareness into your body and into this present moment. If you have a muscle area that's tight, you can relax it by imagining it being like a balloon. So as you inhale, it inflates, and as you exhale, it deflates like a balloon expanding and contracting. Imagine a white rose in the center of your chest. And just as you picture it, it awakens and it begins to bloom. And this beautiful flower is radiant and shimmering white light. You might smell the beautiful scent. And bringing your awareness to this rose, it unfolds. It's opening, getting wider. You can feel the vibration in the center of your chest, the emanation of light and scent and beauty and love. A radiance streaming throughout your body, filling your body with radiant, shimmering white light, and it's filling the room that you're sitting in. Streaming light out the top of your head, fingertips and toes, your body dissolves. And this white rose fades, disappears in the brilliant white light. You are connected and one with all of creation in this white light. The light of divine unconditional love. Absolutely unconditional. This love accepts all things exactly as they are. It accepts you exactly as you are. It allows creation to unfold and to be exactly as it is. This love trusts the perfection of every instant. It embraces each and every moment. This is how love transcends all. You are that love. You are that light. Let your light shine throughout all mankind. To take, conclude by bringing our hands together in prayer to give thanks. Open your eyes and we're done.
What a very nice way to connect.
That. There you go.
Thank you, Sheldon.
You're welcome.
And that was the first time I've heard you use the white rose symbol. Is that something you just learned, or is that, what does that symbolize?
I don't know. You know what's interesting is I was doing that thing, and there is a book on it. Actually, I think it's the White Eagle tradition, but I had done it before I'd ever seen the thing. It's kind of weird. I was like, huh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But it's, I'd do the white light or the white rose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know there's a lot of metaphysical practices that use the rose.
I didn't know that. I had a girl in the group who said she could smell it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. That was very, very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hopefully you didn't hear our cat snoring in the background. Meow. She is out.
Cool.
You put her out big time.
Awesome. Cats need a little more rest, right?
They do. They're hard workers. I think she's on her third nap of the day. In the illusion.
In
she's
this illusion.
She's taking an illusory nap.
So are we doing quotes or what?
Yeah, man. Of course. We love quotes from the Course. I have a very simple one.
Go for it.
I'll start out. This is very short and sweet, very to the point. It's in the text, chapter 6, section 5. And it's one of the sections, I think there is, it's like a section A, but it's very short and sweet. It just says, God did not make the body because it is destructible. And therefore not of the kingdom. And that one usually gets people square in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the noggin.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Sheldon?
We'll just let that one sink in for a little.
Just
God did not make the body.
Because it is destructible.
Because it's destructible.
And therefore not of the kingdom.
Anything that's changeable, you can't trust. I think it says that somewhere in there, right? It says anything that changes, you can't rely on because it changes. And it brings a level of fear because it's not constant.
Exactly. And when you read that, it basically openly is opposite of what, at least I know I was taught growing up in a Catholic tradition, you know, that you read the Bible for Genesis and God created the heavens and the earth. And the Course is clearly saying God did not create the earth. God did not create the universe because it changes and it's the ego. That's the ego's creation because there's dark, mostly dark with some light. And yes, of course the earth has some things that you could look at and go, wow, it's amazing. That's beautiful. But in the end, it's all changing and it dies. So that is not of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So I have a very long and complicated one. So it's in chapter 18 in the text called The Passing of the Dream, mm-hmm. section 3, which is the light in the dream, mm-hmm. paragraph 4. And I might read most of the paragraph. So it says, You who hold your brother's hand also hold mine, for when you joined each other, you were not alone. Do you believe that I would leave you in the darkness that you agreed to leave with me? In your relationship is the world's light, and fear must disappear before you now. Be tempted not to snatch away the gift of faith you offered to your brother. You will succeed only in frightening yourself. The gift is given forever, for God himself received it. You cannot take it back. You have accepted God. The holiness of your relationship is established in heaven. I guess I'll stop there.
Okay.
I think that the point I was trying to share with that was that, you know, it's in relationship that you heal. And that's where that we're all connected, that we're all one, and that the healing is always through perception of relationship within the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we're here, we seem separate. It's seeing the light and seeing the connection and seeing the oneness and seeing that within the relationships is how you heal. And that's how you reconnect to the oneness that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that, right? Because if you're in this world, how do you heal this perception? If this perception is wrong, how do you go about healing it?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, jumped right in there.
We'll definitely be talking more about that. Yeah, for sure. Because again, you know, the course, I love how the course is just very straightforward. I know it's talking in terms of non-duality, but it's very straightforward as far as what our reality is. If you really want to remember and be in non-duality, it's just very straightforward. You know, all the things that we see with our body's eyes, the things we do with our body, is all part of an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically, you know, you're at home. You could, you know, as a metaphor, let's just say you're at home in the kingdom. It could be, for this purpose, a metaphor, you're at home with God. And at some point, you just decided to kind of break away from that love and bliss and go, I just want to do something on my own. And kind of all of a sudden, once that happened, you're all of a sudden outside the kingdom immediately, because there's nothing in the kingdom except for love and unity. And so in that moment, the ego was basically created. And instead of just jumping right back into home, it freaked out and said, oh my God, I did something really, really bad, and convinced itself, now I'm bad and I got to go hide. And the way it hid was splintering and fracturing into what we see as the universe, and potentially, you know, the multi-universe. Doesn't matter. It could be any reality outside of the kingdom, but it's all in the mind. It's all in the ego mind. And so that's why it's all considered an illusion. And that's why it freaks a lot of people out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think, especially for those that were raised and grew up in a home that read the Bible, because people go, well, then why, how is the Bible wrong? Wasn't the Bible created by God? And I don't want to debate any of that. I would just say for anybody to maybe put aside what you are taught and just keep checking in with what feels right to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it feels right, you know, everything in the Bible, great. Just keep going down that path and just remember some of the more positive things out of there, which is love thy neighbor as thyself, love, 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 peace, you know. And then look for what's not of peace. Look for the violence in there and then question, is that really of God?
Mm-hmm. I think everybody's return home goes through stages. And so
sure.
For some people, that's what works for them at that moment. And like you were saying, is that as you continue to heal, as you continue to expand in your awareness and your sense of love, then that you might outgrow that.
Right.
You know, you'll start to outgrow the dogma.
Exactly. You
know, a guy who left his own church and started his own group and he's never read the course, he was, you know, gangbanger, full-on guy that I used to work with, and, you know, got basically saved through a pretty strict church, kind of fundamentalist church, and it saved him. And, you know, he established this beautiful connection and was healing. And as he was reading and doing research and looking up the meaning of words in the Bible and just studying on his own, he came to his own revelations that was far more close to what the Course is and just pure love. And so he left the church, and he has a group that meets with him on Wednesdays, and he goes and he ministers to him on Sundays. It's really wild, and he's literally being a minister. But he found that the teachings were, the dogma and stuff like that was pretty harsh and limiting, and he just couldn't follow that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was completely on his own. It was beautiful. I was like, wow, man, how did you do that? It's pretty interesting. Yeah, cool.
Big time. Yeah. And I know, you know, a lot of people will have asked and will ask, you know, okay, well, okay, maybe the ego did create this, but then how come God doesn't come in and just pull us out, pull you out, save us, that kind of thing. And I know one of the metaphors the Course likes to use and other teachers like to use, it's sort of like, you know, this ego part of you is falling asleep and is having a nightmare, and God or Holy Spirit's not going to come in and just violently shake you and wake you up, because that would be too frightening and it might cause more damage. And so now there's this gentle echo, this gentle voice, the Holy Spirit, that's sort of like this lighthouse, this beacon, just kind of calling you back, just gently calling you back. Mm-hmm. And eventually we'll all answer it and return.
Mm-hmm. If if it's all an illusion and it's all, you know, inside time and space, and God is outside of time and space, and it doesn't really matter on a certain level.
Exactly.
And it's this is a dimension of experience. So we're here and we're experiencing stuff.
Yep.
And it's releasing the attachment to the experience, right?
That right.
That allows the return back. And how do you do that? That's, I think, the question is, how do you, okay, find the thing's illusion? How do you, is that helpful? And how do you use that as a tool for shifting perception back to love?
Right.
I think that's the question.
Exactly. Yeah, instead of trying to figure out, oh, how did I get here? How do I get out? I mean, the Course is very clear on how you get out of all this. And it takes away all the magic. It takes away, you know, I hate to say this, but I mean, it kind of, you know, if you want to play around with certain spiritual practices or metaphysical practices, I mean, unless it's really just trying to heal your mind by practicing love and the Course's version of forgiveness, which is looking at your brothers or sisters as spirit, as love, as, you know, Christ, you're just going to delay your time, basically. And there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that, you know. I dabble in all that stuff. I think it's fun at times, you know. But then ultimately, whether, you know, like if you're going to like a spiritual group, you're going to have great opportunities to practice forgiveness. If you're at a job, great opportunities to practice forgiveness. It doesn't matter. The answer is always the same. Practice love and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And, it's always, for me, it's always about practicing love and compassion for everybody, including yourself.
Yes.
And it's like I don't really pay attention to, you know, whether it's an illusion or not. I'm more, if I am loving and compassionate in this moment, can I feel peace and love and compassion in this moment? And if I can't, why not? And if I can't, the why not isn't about the person or the situation or the external circumstance. It's about what's in my heart that's blocking it.
Right.
What is the barrier, right? Because if, right, we are at home in heaven, you know, we've never left. So that peace, the kingdom of heaven, seek first the kingdom of heaven within, right? That peace is already in you. And mm-hmm. if you're not feeling it, that's because... And the Course says in the introduction, right, that it's not about you can't make love, you know. It was already there. It's there. You know, you just remove the obstacles to your awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is the my practice, right, is when I'm not feeling that, why am I not feeling that, and why am I not feeling that? What is my block to my ability to feel love and compassion and peace in this moment? And then you're looking at that point, when you're looking inside like that, you're looking at a fear barrier, right? Mm-hmm. It's some kind of fear that you have. Somebody does something at work and you get upset. Is it because you're afraid they're trying to take your credit, you know, your seeming credit for your project? And then it makes you look like, you know, what if I lose my job or I don't look as good, right? Those kinds mm-hmm. of things are egoic, fear-based, separate ideas. And if you recognize that, wow, you know, I'm afraid of losing my job in this moment, that's what's coming up, is I fear that, you know, there's not enough, or if he gets a promotion, I can't have one, or whatever, right? And you start to look at all of that stuff and where does that come from? My mom always told me, my dad said, you know, you, early bird gets the worm and you got to fight for what you get, whatever, right? And then you start to look at all of the patterns that you were brought up in and you release and heal those things. The Holy Spirit, that's where you're calling in the Holy Spirit to release that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why sometimes I think asking why might could be a trap.
Yes.
You know, I would just point that out. And I think it's sometimes it's just that easy. Not sometimes, it can be just that easy. It's like, oh, I am upset right now, or I'm feeling tense or not comfortable, or I notice I'm judging, and you just hand it over. That's where you just go, yeah. Holy Spirit, I want to see this through you. I'm clearly siding with the ego here. I'm letting this go.
That's what I think you must be come as a child. I think that there, for me, there's a certain curiosity, but it's not a judgment. Mm-hmm. It's like, where is that coming from? You know what I mean? And it's sure. like, it's not, and you're right, it can become a very fine line, and it can become a thing where we get into either victimness, right? Mm-hmm. Or judgment. But it's kind of like there's an innocence with the child that is just curious about the world. Why does that happen now? What's going on there? You know what I mean? But they're not judging it. They're just looking at it like, what's happening? And I think that sort of approach is what I tend to be doing when I'm looking at it and saying, wow, that's interesting. Without saying, wow, I'm a bad spiritual person, or, you know, my mom's mm-hmm. terrible. She can't believe she did that to me, you know, or whatever. It's just like, oh, there it is. You know what I mean? And that's what has to be released. I think yep. So yeah, it's definitely when that question about or looking in and kind of looking at, and I don't normally even do it mentally. So it's more like you feel the vibration of it. I was just talking about this in the group. If you get triggered, you feel the vibration of that trigger. You feel the anger and you sit in it
mm-hmm.
and then you just meditate with it. And
yeah.
then other stuff can come up and that can get released with it as a unit.
Yep. I think that's definitely what I think you were talking about before. I mean, yeah, there's definitely an aspect of this where you practice a level of mindfulness. And I think it's great to have that. And then what the course does is, okay, great. You're mindful, but for the sake of what? And, you know, what I love about the course is it gives you the answer. You're mindful so that you can see or recognize the obstacles to your peace or happiness.
Right.
And then you work with the Holy Spirit to release right. that and heal that. Yep.
It's never, and I think that this is one of the things that people will do, is Holy Spirit, show me what I need to heal so I can heal it. And that is this egoic trap that keeps you in charge, my mm-hmm. ego in charge. And so people will meditate with that and go, hey, you know, I'm upset. Why am I upset? Show me what I need to heal. You know? And it's just like, well, the healer is the Holy Spirit, is love, the love that of God, the unconditional love. And it's not an egoic you function, right? It's not a let me fix this. Because what that does is it allows you to keep your ego intact. And I'm going to fix it. And so there's a lot, I found that with a couple of people where in the group where they start to get into this pattern of, show me what I need to fix so I can fix it. And it's like, no, it's like, let go, you know? And it's a complete surrender and let go of, I don't know. And I just, you know, I don't need to know, right? I don't, the judgment of understanding out in the world, that's an illusion that's designed to keep you stuck in the illusion trying to solve it. That's
yeah.
the whole nature of the chaotic nature of the illusion, is that it's never solvable. So that the
yeah,
more you try, go ahead.
Sorry.
It's just the more that you're, the illusion, the nature of this dimension is that it's not solvable on the outside. So
yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great sign. Like any type of analysis, if you're trying to analyze something, whether it's spiritual, you know, a mental, emotional, physical thing, that's definitely in the realm of the ego. Whereas, you know, I think the Course's version of forgiveness is you're just constantly just jumping straight to the miracle, which is, I don't want to understand or know why I'm experiencing this particular upset. Like if you're with your, like a sibling and they say something that upsets you, it's like really what's underlying all that is the guilt, the unconscious guilt. And so it just fractured and showed up in different versions of that. And so now all you're trying to do is just keep releasing it to the Holy Spirit so it gets healed. And like lesson 34 says, you know, I could see peace instead of this and just let it go.
Right. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people's favorites. It's like, you know, when you're looking on something and it's tripping you out, it's like, wow, I could see peace instead of this. And then, like, for example, it's kind of like this. It's like Jacqueline one time, and she was saying something, and it triggered me, my wife, and I was totally upset. And I was just like, and I felt like she was judging me, right? And I was just like, why can't I be at peace with her judging me constantly? At that time, it felt like it was constant, right? I was just like, you know, if she's constantly judging me, why can't I be at peace with that? Why can't I be at peace with bam, 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 you know, attack, attack, attack? Why can't I? And I sat with that, and I was pretty upset. I was totally triggered at the time, and I sat and I just started meditating with it. And then this voice came in my head, and it just said, because you think you can be attacked. You're associating with what can be attacked, you know? You think you can be attacked. That's the you. That's your body. Your body can be attacked in this illusion. The body can physically be attacked. You know, you can do something to the body, fine. But you're identifying with what can be attacked. And I was just like, whoa. And it totally like shook me. I was like, wow, because you think you can be attacked, you know?
Right.
And the true you, the spirit, the light, cannot. And you've identified with the body. And so when I shifted that, I saw that when I came in, this is because you think you can be attacked. The you-ness, you know, it's like you made a mistake. You misidentified. When I shifted that, it was pretty intense how fast it released.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty potent.
Yeah, I think, again, hopefully I don't offend people, but like I just look at A Course in Miracles as sort of like the PhD version of Law of Attraction. Like the whole Law of Attraction idea is so true. You know, what your mind is focused on is exactly what you create. You know, I just think that if you're trying to create wealth, and nothing wrong with that, or create, you know, a better body, it's just, you know, you're still playing in the world of duality. But if you're bringing your attention, your mind to, again, you know, love, peace, God, healing, Holy Spirit, then you're going to join with that part of your mind. And then the constant question is that what you want to create, or do you want to stay a little bit longer and create, you know, $1 million check or whatever it is within the illusion?
My thing with that is, you know, if like I did in the meditation, right, unconditional love accepts, allows, trusts, embraces all things. So that is an aspect of divine love. The vibration of divine love is always accepting, allowing, embracing, and trusting, right? Because it allows everything. It allowed this aspect of the Christ mind to dream a dream of separation and didn't stop it, right? It was like, fine, whatever you want kind of thing. go play in the field. The story of the
problem. Yeah.
Go off and play. It doesn't matter when you come back.
It doesn't. Yeah, come on. You'll still be accepted.
You know. So this aspect of allowing, trusting, embracing, if you're not, this is one of those little like kind of self-monitoring gauges. Am I allowing and trusting and accepting and embracing? Am I in that moment? If I'm resisting, you know, why? So if you're allowing, from the Law of Attraction perspective, if that is divine love, then that is the highest vibration. So if you're allowing what is to be, even if it's lack, and you allow it fully by embracing it, you've automatically raised your vibration to the vibration of divine love, which will transmute and transcend that lower vibration of lack. So even the act of embracing and allowing and being at peace with this seeming point of lack, shifts it up to the highest vibration that's possible in that moment, which will transmute it, which will then reflect differently. So it's an interesting, there's so many people that are like doing that law of attraction to try to shift what it is because they totally absolutely don't like what is and they resist it. And mm-hmm. when you resist it, you're throwing energy into it. Resistance is a form of energy that causes that what you resist persists, right? It's because you focused on it. Your yep. resistance is a focal point. So people are always like, hey, you know, and they're resisting something, but they're totally focusing on their energy and what they're resisting. And the universe is feeling that energy and feeling that focal point of energy and just manufacturing more of that. That's all. Anyway, that's it's totally funny.
Yeah, it is. And it's that's why I think as we operate in this big illusion, it's very complicated and it gets very tricky. And that's why, again, I think the course is always just, it's always redirecting you to the same place over and over and over again. You know, it kind of takes all the complication out and
right.
and boils it down. It makes it very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple.
It's incredibly simple. The world is very complicated. The illusion is complicated. The ego is complicated. That's why the course is so thick. What it teaches is incredibly simple.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's it's yeah, and that's
process. It's not always right. easy to apply.
Yeah, that's why like one of the repeated themes is as you're walking around in this illusion, you know, it's constantly saying you look on your brothers and sisters as spirit, as Christ. You know, I know that Gary Renard's teachers have given him a line or a quote to use that, he, you know, you or he can repeat in their head whenever you like physically see someone. You just remind yourself of who they are, which will remind you of who you are. And it's really simple. You basically repeat in your mind as you're looking at someone, you are spirit or Christ. Whole and innocent, all is forgiven and released. It's very simple, very short, something that you can repeat. But if you're kind of preloading your interaction with someone with that in your mind, mm-hmm. Typically, you know, you're going to hopefully stay in love, stay in peace with that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. not always easy. I know.
Remember that one. I used that one for a long time, actually. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good one. Yeah. I mean, I use that one all the time, whether I'm at work or with family members. Mm-hmm. And it helps. Sometimes I forget, though. And
for sure.
Got to stay at it. And especially the moments where, I mean, I don't know about you, but I still have moments where I guess I'm kind of doing that control thing. Like, oh, I have to be the spiritual person here and I've got to do this. And then I realize, wait a second, I'm all tensed out and I'm judging this person that appears to be in front of me, and then I have to remember, wait, I want to let this go. I don't want to be experiencing this. I want to experience this with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
People often, one of the things that comes up a lot of times when people are doing the courses, they'll start to go, well, if everything's an illusion, then what difference does it make? And then why do I have to do anything? Fuck it all. Oops, mm-hmm. I threw an F-bomb.
Oh, Sheldon.
I couldn't get out.
You threw an illusory F-bomb out.
You know, yep. Several people in the group have hit to that point where they're like, well, then what's the point of anything?
Sure. Yeah. And that would be, yeah. And that's a great strategy for the ego to not do any of the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the ego wants you to stay here, wants you to stay trapped. So even though this is an illusion, you can use the illusion as poison, which means you stay here forever and ever feeling miserable or being crazy, insane, as the course would say, or you practice forgiveness or a form of that, you know, which is love, any kind of form of love, and you then you'll return home and you'll mm-hmm. return home faster the mm-hmm. more you do that. And I think that's incentive right there, personally. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you say to people?
Well, it's an interesting thing because people feel like, well, then I could just do whatever I wanted. I could go murder somebody. Could I murder somebody, you know? And it's – if you see, you know, everybody – if you see your brother as you, if you see yourself completely connected, if you see them from absolute love and compassion and unconditional love and compassion, then the desire to do something like that doesn't come up. So, you know, it's like in on one level of theory and, you know, just intellectualizing on a mental level, you could say, sure, is it theoretically possible that I could do whatever I wanted? You know, sure. But the point of the matter is, as you heal and as you, and healing is a process of loving more and more unconditionally in more circumstances. And as you embody that absolute unconditional love, the love of the light of Christ, right? As you embody the Christ light, if you want to call it that, the desire to do anything, even in the world of illusion that is seemingly harmful to another being, just doesn't happen anymore. So it's, you know, it's like you just want to be, you just want to radiate joy and love and light, and you know what I mean? And love your brothers and sisters and laugh and have fun and you know what I mean? And help them to connect to that point inside themselves as well. It's sort of just like a moot point, I think. It's just a point that's, like you were saying, is completely of the ego, really. It's a egoic game plan to keep you trapped in the whole thing.
Yeah, it's, again, it just, you can keep boiling this down to simplicity. It, like, that's a great ego question or trap. Like, oh, this is all an illusion. I can go out and murder people and it doesn't matter. It's like, well, wait a second. You're here because you want to return back to love, back to heaven. And so that means in order to do that, you basically become, you need to become that, or you will become that. And so when you think about it and you're like, okay, if God is love, Christ is love and peace and joy. So if I go out and murder, am I being Christ-like? You know, it's sort of like, what would Jesus do? It's like, yeah, okay, Jesus wouldn't go out and murder people. So if you think because this is an illusion, you can murder people and it's all okay, well, you just keep choosing and siding with the ego. So you just keep staying here because you're doing violence to your mind, to yourself when you do that. And that creates more separation between your mind and Christ mind.
One of the other things just came in when you were talking about that, though, is the murderous thoughts, right? One of the things that the Course has is about talking about, when have I felt the same, right? It's like when, if you judge somebody when they're attacking you, you say, when have I had a similar pattern? That, when does that come up? In other words, judging your brother from this place that, you know, oh, I don't behave like that, so I'm better than you. And it's just like we all are in our egos in this dimension. We've all had aspects of, you know, fear-based craziness. And we've all shared in different kinds of levels of that insanity, and we all still do, right? So it's like when you look at somebody behaving in a specific way, usually what triggers you the most is something that you have within you. There's some aspect of that energy in your own body, which is why you're seeing it in your reality, in the illusion, whatever you call it, but in your world, is it's there for your healing. That's how I, a lot of times, that's, you know, it's like all the stuff that's in your subconscious mind that is unhealed is projected into your present moment for your healing, for your recognition and release so that you can be free of it. That's why the world is never happening to you as you a victim of it. It's always happening for you, for your ultimate healing and release. So all of the stuff that you get triggered by in your daily life is your projection of your stuff that you're not aware of on a subconscious level made aware. You know, if you have awareness, you have to have the awareness to see that, right? So if you have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, but all of the stuff is there for you. So if you judge your brother and say, gosh, I can't believe they behave that way, I would never do that, then you're just, you know, you're just maintaining that projection, you're maintaining that level of reality. Why? Because you haven't healed it. But when you recognize that, wow, the way this brother has behaved, I have that energy in me, even if you're not consciously aware of it, you can say, you can start to look at, when have I felt that way? When have, you know, that aspect? And that's when you're reconnecting back to what you're seeing outside of you as part of you as well and releasing that. Then you're releasing part of your unhealed subconscious stuff in the moment, in the conscious moment. So that's an interesting dynamic on how this whole thing plays out for ultimately for release and healing and return to oneness, right? That the whole that whole movie projector thing. That's what's happening to each one of us. The interesting thing is that it's happening to each one of us and we're interacting with each other. So each one of us is perfectly placed for the healing of the other. So we're all in it together, healing each other's illusory, seemingly separate illusory, you know, mind games all at the same time. That's the mind-blowing aspect of this dimension that's kind of wild when you think about it. And that's why the thing that I read, which is about it's always in relationship where you see the light. It's always in that relationship, even with the things that seemingly are your triggers. That's where the most light is hidden. You know what I mean? That's where your greatest opportunity is in the thing that triggers you the most.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Anything that's pulling you out of peace. And and again, there's no order of difficulty. So nope. It could be the thing that triggers you the most, but it's also the thing that just barely triggers you too. Because it's still pointing to that unconscious guilt and fear that's going on.
For me, that's where, the minor irritation is the same as murderous rage. It talks about that. And as you heal the big stuff, you start to notice that it's these subtle things that'll slide into your mind on a very subtle level. It's just like, what a jerk, in traffic or whatever. You just slip through. You say something that's not very nice, and then you just keep driving and you forget all about the fact that slid right in there and slid right out. And yet in that moment, you were having attacking thoughts and you were not at peace. And why is that? You know what I mean? And looking inside there and, if he gets ahead of me in traffic, then I'll be last or whatever it is, this competitive thing, or we're separate and, there's never enough. All of those things are coming up. And like you said, it doesn't matter how subtle it is. It's still a lack of peace and it's a lack of love and it comes into attack. And those things need to be looked at as well. That's where the awareness has to really kick into higher gear. I think the more you heal, the more subtle those things become. And that's where, in the Tao Te Ching, it talks about the master walking over a frozen stream, completely alert and present and graceful and fluid and open. But alert, there's a certain amount of awareness, self-awareness to everything in your response to it and how you are responding and what's coming up for you that needs to be fine-tuned over. That does get fine-tuned as you go through the process, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why, as you practice more of the mindfulness, so as you're going through the illusion, I think, and you keep practicing and being diligent about it, even the small things become really obvious. And maybe you don't catch it because I know that still happens to me. I grew up in Detroit and I was taught to drive a certain way, which is very aggressive, unfortunately. And I live in the West Coast. People drive mellower and I've mellowed out quite a bit over the years, but I'll notice occasionally, and I really have to watch this, people, especially, they just aren't paying attention. They cut you off. And my first reaction is to get upset. Mm-hmm. And so one, I notice that'll happen. It happens less, but when it does, I can practice forgiveness right there. Mm-hmm. I can see that person as spirit of Christ, or I'll react to it and then I'll catch myself a few seconds later and go, oh, I did it. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back and forgive it even after it happens. It's for all sure. The same. It's right. Just, but still having that mindfulness and that the diligence of practicing the forgiveness is what will get you through the illusion much faster.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like at some point, as those things really heal and the button goes completely away, you start to, you see somebody and they're trying to get in front of you and you put on your brakes and say, hey, did you need to get in here? I hope you go ahead.
Right.
If you're in a hurry, go for it. You know what I mean?
It's a great example. It's just, that button. What would love do? What would Jesus do? What would Christ do? If you're always in a response of love, love is just open and inviting. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the road, it's okay. Maybe it's the fifth car in a row that's trying to get in front of you. Okay, allow it in. So what?
It's okay. You guys are all really in a hurry today. Wow.
I'm laughing.
There's a lot of people stressed this morning. Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, everybody else needs to get to work faster than I do. That's hilarious. Yeah.
That's okay. And And I feel like that kind of response arises naturally as this healing process happens, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's, again, it's layers. And, you know, you might be able to totally fine with one or two. And then, you know, the fifth one, and you say, hey, that's enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been letting, well, you know, and then it catches you. You know what I mean? You go, wow, a bunch of layers are healed, but there's still some more in there or whatever.
Yeah, or you just hand it over and go, okay, yeah, you know, Holy Spirit, whatever. I would like to see more peace here. I would like to experience more peace. And you might just be like, oh, I can change lanes. And before you know it, you're just in a totally different experience. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that guidance comes in. And if
you get a different job, then you don't have to commute at the same time.
And allow it. Yeah, right. Exactly. Just, it. You know, you don't have to keep getting beat on the head with these lessons either. You know, just be open to guidance and in another way to see it or experience it. Because mm-hmm. Jesus demonstrated the ultimate forgiveness lesson, which is appearing to be crucified on some wood. And I love, the Gary Renard version where he was so enlightened he didn't feel pain. And then his body didn't mean anything, so that three appearingly days later, he ascended. You know, that's the ultimate lesson in forgiveness, love, and ascension.
That, that there is never, in this illusion, there is never a circumstance, an illusory circumstance, that justifies attack.
Yep.
That it's always love and forgiveness, which is why he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know? Hey.
Although that doesn't mean while you're in the illusion that if you're in a life-threatening situation that you don't physically defend yourself. You do that, get through it, and then work through the forgiveness afterwards. You know, I think that's practical advice. Instead of
practical advice if you're not Jesus.
Yeah. Or yes. Even an ascended master, I would think even an ascended master, I don't know how they would respond. I mean, I think we'll talk about that more in the next show. We'll be talking about Jesus and ascended masters, because I think, you know, Jesus was an extreme example, but there are people that have ascended and are ascending that are just walking around normal day-to-day stuff.
It says in the course that his example was extreme and that you need not do that.
Right. You know? Exactly.
He's saying that I set a template to show that there is never a circumstance that can't be forgiven and released, even if you have to run away and defend yourself and then forgive and release later, right? Like you're saying. But there's never a circumstance where condemnation of your brothers is needed. You know, and the truth of the matter is, if you're in that place of absolute peace and oneness and love and compassion, you can still behave however is appropriate, you know? So in other words, you could still defend yourself without having anger and fear and hatred in your heart. You could be at a place that, and that's to me is very much Aikido. If you look at martial arts,
yep,
that was
what exactly
the Aikido, the Osensei was in. He could sit in absolute peace, radiance, yep, love, and flip you all over the place. And you were never going to touch that guy.
That,
you
know what I mean? Yeah, I would highly recommend anybody to read The Art of Peace. There are so many writings in there from Osensei that is very much in alignment with The Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. That guy, if he wasn't a full ascended master, he was pretty damn close.
You know, and so yes, while we're saying you can forgive, it doesn't mean you stand there and you know, you don't have to stand there and be hit.
Yeah, there was one excerpt in the book, and I know we're at the top of our hour, but if you read the book, there is, he even encouraged like these Japanese soldiers to shoot guns at him. And he was literally so masterful, he would literally jump on the light the bullet trails would create and just fly over them and be standing behind them before they even knew what was going on. He was that enlightened. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But and he was all calm about it, peaceful, and just like, yeah, whatever. It's just what you do.
But he moved.
He did.
He did move. I think there were some stories of Chinese martial artists who got shot and killed.
Saying, okay.
Shoot me. Shoot me. That bullet won't harm me, and I'm going to stand here.
Yeah, I'm sure there's different versions of that.
But you know, you know, sometimes the movement within this dimension is still required.
Yep. But hey, I'm realizing we're at the top of our hour. Time goes by so fast when we're talking.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple things more I'd like to say, but
yeah, seriously, like another, this is a good one.
Yeah, it's a lot of juice, a lot of
meaty one,
a lot of illusory juice in this one. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
So, just a quick reminder for everybody: if you want to check out more information about Of Course Radio and A Course in Miracles, you can visit ofcourseradio.com or the BBS Radio page. And Sheldon, I don't know if real quickly if you want to talk about AUM.
RTNA Movement. We do have rtnamovement.com. And I'm doing the Course in Miracles on Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m., 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, California.
Awesome.
Awesomeness. Great talking to you, Scott.
Yes.
Miss you, brother.
As always. Miss you, too. Love you. Love everybody that's listening and not listening. And forgive on.
Rock on, brother.
Rock on.
Rock on.